Welcome to the Teacher Nerds Podcast. Joe and Ron are self-proclaimed teacher nerds, geeking out on all things education. They are looking to move educational practices out of the 1900s factory worker model to a student-driven classroom full of empathetic, creative, and collaborative students willing to take risks. Join them as they chat with educators from around the world, discussing educational tools, techniques, ideas, policies, and much more. Thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds. And now a word from a sponsor.
Have you heard about the nerds? What's the word? Teacher Nerds. You can tweet them out on Twitter. You can find them on the gram. After listening to their podcast, you'd be sitting there like, bam! Trying to take the teaching from one level to the next. Reaching up to Canada and down to Mexico. Gotta go. Teacher Nerds. Start the show.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. I'm Ron Nober.
I'm Joe DiPaolo.
I am a technology teacher for third grade to eighth grade.
And I teach third grade.
And our guest today is a returning guest, Julia Fliss from Colorado. Welcome back, Ooh. Julia.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Yeah.
And as usual, what we'll do is we'll jump in before we have Julia tell us a little bit about herself or remind us about herself. We'll do our two yes mores, one no way. And today we're doing barbecue.
It's time for two yes more. One, no way.
Joe, do you want to start off and then we'll let Julia go and then me?
Ron, I'll start. I do like the whole backyard barbecue and grilling out. And for my two yeses, I'm going with sides. My first is a cucumber tomato salad. And I'm not going to lie, we've probably eaten one every night for the past 5 or 6 nights. And I like some, you know, red wine vinegar, a little bit of olive oil, fresh basil really spices it up a little bit. But that's my number one go-to. At one point in time, we used to have a balsamic vinegar that was cherry flavored. Just took it to a totally different level, like a more of a sweet level with the cherry balsamic. But standard red wine vinegar, I think it's delicious. So that's my number one. My second would be a pasta salad with, you know, the rotinis and a little cheese in there, some pepperoni, whatever kind of Italian seasonings go on pasta salads. That's my number two. And I think those are great staples, at least down the East Coast through like that Jersey summer. Now, my one no way, hands down, I don't even really know what they are, but they're those brats. It's like not a hot dog because I really like hot dogs. So I love hot dogs, but whatever a brat is, I don't know if it's just that I have a weak stomach or it's not for me. That I do know. That's my one no way. And that I didn't even have to think about that.
That's pretty good.
How is it that brat is spelled the same as brat? Like, what's up with that? Who comes up with those kinds of connections? I'm with you. I don't know what it is.
That's like, is that the difference between the German phonetics and, right? Because isn't brat like a German, a German thing?
Yeah, for sure.
not my thing. Julie, how about you? What are you interested in?
Right on. Well, your no way is going to tap into mine, but I'll circle back to that. Okay. I'm also going to start out with sides. I got one. My number one will be two different sides that I love to combine. And then my number two is actually going to be like location and atmosphere. Ooh. So number one for me is corn salsa. I love corn salsa. Like, get some fresh, preferably Iowa. My whole family's from Iowa. I grew up in the Midwest. So get some good Iowa corn. I'm talking, you go to the store and you shuck it. You don't like shuck it in the store and throw it there. And you know how to check for a good ear of corn. You get that good corn, golden ear. You bring it to the grill. You get butter or olive oil. You salt and pepper it. You add in some jalapeno, some purple onion. You like, oh, corn salsa. And then to top it, I'd love to add my own salsa. So get some tomatoes on the vine, grab some serrano peppers, put those on the grill, get them nice and crispy, blend that all up. And that mixture is like my blood. It is my lifeblood. I love that. So there's my number one, two sides combined.
Nice.
My number two is definitely like location and atmosphere. Like one of the best things about grilling, which I love to do all year round, is just making sure you're in it. Like you got to go stand by the grill when you're cooking on it, right? You don't like go put it on and go do something else. You like make sure it's dripping right. You make sure you've got the right utensils. You just like get your condiments all organized, whatever it is you need to create your grill experience, go all in. You got to go all in for sure. And then my no way is actually hot dogs. I'm not a big meat eater, first of all. And secondly, I have this hot dog story that might be a little bit too long for right now, but I used to love hot dogs as a kid. Like when I was two, loved them. Like yellow mustard, red ketchup, white onion, like art project in your hands, right? I loved them. And I loved them so much that at one point when I was two, again, reminder, walking down the sidewalk, I look down, I think I see a hot dog in the grass and I eat it.
Oh.
And I just, since then, and there's a whole rest of this story that ends up with me in the emergency room and my mom picking me up like a football and banging my head and sitting at the vet to get the feces like tested. I have not eaten a hot dog since. So that's why my no way would have to be a hot dog.
Oh, that was brutal.
That's yeah. Trauma.
Yeah.
My kids in my classroom, they love that story. They like, they look at me a little bit different after I tell it, but they love that story.
Oh man. You know what? Maybe I don't want to hear the details of that story because I want to still be able to eat hot dogs.
Yes. Good call. What about you, Ron? What are your two yes mores and one no way?
I'm going sides kind of as well to do my, and one is corn on the cob at a backyard barbecue. Just you know, and Jersey's got, you know, our sweet corn here, so like, you know, a good Jersey corn.
Do right? you grill it or do you boil it?
We actually just started, you know, we did microwaving it in the husk. So you put two ears in, 8 minutes, dude, they come out and you cut the end off and you squeeze it and it just shoots out of the husk completely.
Really? Clean.
We did it last night. It was the most amazing thing ever. And it tastes just like it would if you boiled it.
Hmm.
I was shocked. Susan's like, there's got to be a way about, you know, cleaning corn and shucking it that is an easier, somebody's got to have come up with a hack. And that's what we found is microwave it for 8 minutes, cut the end off by the stem, and then you just like squeeze it out of the husk like toothpaste, and it pops out completely clean, none of the hair, nothing.
Hmm.
It's amazing.
I'm gonna try it. Wow.
My Iowa family would be just like looking down their nose at you, like you do what? You put it in the microwave? What? Like they would just brain blown.
Well, Julia,
at first I was like, there's no way it's going to taste like usually we steam it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it was good.
And Ron, you said it was Jersey sweet corn?
Yeah. Like the white sweet. Yeah.
And then Julia, you said another type of corn.
Yeah, golden yellow.
Golden but yellow.
I hear you. I can create some space for a different experience for Jersey corn. Right? I can hold back my judgment on that for sure.
Well, we had corn probably over a week ago and it didn't taste right yet.
Right.
We had that small, I think not small, maybe, you know, a couple week window.
Yeah, it's usually sometime after 4th of July
mm-hmm.
that you can start to get it. And
so was it good the other day?
It was good enough, you know what I mean, like for the first corn of the year. Like
yeah,
we just did, I mean, every once in a while we'll do corn dinner, dude. I ate 5 ears of corn last night. That was my dinner. it was delicious.
That's what I'm talking about.
You just got your cred back.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Good recovery.
My second is Susan's dad. I never met Susan's dad. He passed away before we met, but he has a baked bean recipe that is like famous in their family. And it's that those baked beans, and it's baked in like a casserole dish, and it's got onion on it and green pepper on it. And you'll put it in and slow bake it for hours, where it all the everything caramelizes and his beans. I mean, they're canned beans, but once you doctor it all up and you slow roast it and all that, it's pretty yummy. So his beans for sure. We just call him Dad's bean.
The green peppers though. That's what's throwing me.
Oh no, it's great. It adds a little crunch in there. Yeah. My no way has to be any kind of side salads with mayonnaise, potato salad, coleslaw. I can't do mayonnaise, cannot on anything, cannot do mayonnaise. So those salads just.
I'm glad I said pasta salad and not macaroni salad.
Macaroni salad too. Same thing.
Macaroni salad's up there on my list too, but I only had two yeses. So
no. Pasta salad I'm good with because that usually has like an Italian dressing or olive oil.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not a big fan of mayo either.
Yeah.
Mayo. I like mayo. What I can't do the Miracle Whip.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't do mayo, fake mayo is not really
fun. Fake mayo.
Exactly.
Would that be feo?
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Julia, for doing our two yes mores. Now I'm all hungry for like barbecue stuff. I want to. I got to try the corn salsa. Right? Sounds awesome, grilling it and all that. All the mix sounds delicious.
But isn't corn salsa so you don't have tomatoes in your corn salsa? Your corn salsa would just be
no.
Because when I think corn salsa, I would think kind of like what you said, but with the tomatoes and the salsa. Onions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds good. I would put it on everything. Chicken, tacos, fish.
Yep. So good. So definitely multi-purpose.
Yeah, more than just a chip.
Love it. Exactly.
And now we're going to take a little break, but we'll be back in a moment. Are you looking to encourage your students to think about important political, cultural, economic, geographic, and gender issues? Bring Girl Rising into your classroom. Girl Rising is a powerful film that travels the globe following 9 unforgettable girls who face daunting barriers to their education, but stand up to them with fortitude and determination. Curriculum from Girl Rising includes teacher guides, project-based lessons, and issue fact sheets. There's even a Flipgrid library with over 30 topics for teachers and students. It doesn't matter whether you teach elementary school, middle school, high school, or college. Engage and empower your class. Visit girlrising.org to get started today. And now back to the show.
So, Julia, do you want to just, can you remind our listeners just a little bit about, you know, you and, you know, what you teach and, you know, kind of maybe how you got into teaching?
Yeah, for sure. So it started out in Iowa. I went to the University of Iowa, graduated with a Spanish language and literature, women's studies and art history degree. Had no idea I was going to be a teacher, was actually pre-med most of my time there. And I just knew I wanted adventure. So I packed my Volkswagen and I drove west. I landed in Denver. And because I speak Spanish, I ended up as a paraprofessional in a middle school, then made my way to actually an alternative middle and high school. It's called the Florence Crittenden School for Teenage Families. Use my Spanish to help empower kids, help just life experience and shape a view of the world, like help kids really come into themselves who had found themselves in the midst of challenge because of a teen pregnancy. I used art therapy. I used everything I could to help those kiddos really be able to see the world still as full of opportunity for them instead of kind of closed down because of a choice or a situation or a circumstance. And that's where I first became my own teacher that's when I decided, hey, I love this. This is like what I'm on the planet to do. And at the same time, someone said, hey, you should try teaching in Denver. I signed up for their alternative teaching program. And that fall, I had my first classroom, 50 kids per class. I was teaching one ninth grade class, one Hispano-American literature class. So it was multicultural literature for freshmen. It was Hispano-American lit for juniors and world lit for seniors. And I just learned how to teach from the inside out. My kids taught me everything I know. I sourced them for resources and what we wanted to learn about and where we needed to go to get the resources we needed to keep living the way we wanted to live and learning language. I was a transition teacher, so I taught some classes in Spanish, some in English, and then that fusion of both at the same time. I taught there for 8 years. I coached sports. I did everything I could. Like I just lived like teacher land from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. Until I realized, I think I might be creating a little bit of unhealthy dynamic for myself. I decided I needed to just take a good look because I realized what I was modeling for kids is not, I wasn't practicing what I was preaching. I was telling them to look around them to see what they needed to do for themselves to be their best. And I wasn't making those choices for me. So I took a step back and I actually helped to start an online high school in Denver, DPS Online High School, crafty name, I know. And really kind of, I dug deep. I did some inner work that I needed to do and I learned technology and I built web pages and we Dreamweaver. And it was like a whole different way of experiencing learning from just a whole, like a different pedagogy for me. It was just, I needed to be able to connect with kids through technology in a way that could still help them open up and want to learn and invite and activate learning in themselves through a computer screen. For me, it wasn't my thing. I could do it and I loved it. I pretty much love everything when I'm in it, but I realized quickly about 2 years later that I needed to get back to an in-person classroom. I needed to like build on my strengths, having established some new balance, having some new skills. We even did some community outreach from that school. We went on a service learning trip to Brazil. I mean, we did a whole bunch that really brought that school to life, but I still knew I needed to get back to my, like to a classroom with kids. And that's how I landed at Evergreen Middle School. They were hiring a Spanish language and literature, world cultures and world languages teacher. I was 0.8 when I started. I taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And I just jumped in. I didn't have my own classroom at first. I had the Flissmobile, which is basically like this rolling cart that had like file folders and books and everything I needed to go where I needed to go because I taught in 3 different classrooms. And we just started to make the magic happen. And that position actually got defunded at the end of the year. And so I took a year off, did some traveling. My partner is actually an artist. So we did a whole bunch of work together to start a creative consulting firm. And then the next year they were looking for, believe it or not, a teacher librarian. So someone said, hey, try Julia. And so I said, yep, I'll interview, I'll do it. And so for one semester, I was the teacher, the digital teacher librarian at Evergreen Middle School. And then a 6th grade language arts spot opened up and I was like, that's my spot right there. That's where I need to be. I knew it was 6th grade because my 6th graders had actually been the kids who challenged me the most. Like they were the kids who were like, come on, what you got? Right. They were just like in it and raw and transitioning and just like ready to like talk back and give me life. So I halfway through the year took the spot as the 6th grade language arts teacher. And that's where I've been for the past, I think, 9 years. So that's me. Still doing community outreach, still a huge just activist and passionate change maker on the planet, connect in every way I can inside the classroom to outside the classroom and vice versa. And I just, it's why I'm on the planet. Here's where I am in my journey right now.
And I guess, just listening to you talk about that, and it's part of, I think, the beauty of you is just like seeing the kids, like you said, your sixth grade, who are going to talk back, and seeing that as like a joy and getting something out of it rather than it being a negative. There are a few things that you said just where I was like, that is the beauty of you, is that. Mm. And even just our two yes mores, I love the outside the box of, oh, it's location and, you know, like that. It's just, I don't know. It's just it's a joy to have you as a connection because of those things. I just had to say that. Yeah.
It's just like go with the flow. Like, oh, this happened, so it must mean this. It's just like sort of one. It's like the doors are closing and windows are opening, and it's like you're jumping through head first. Like just to hear that story. Like how'd you go from to the librarian, right? Like a librarian for a semester, like, and then from a Spanish, multicultural literature and to Spanish to then language arts. That's like a ping pong. Like you're all over the place. And and look, you're smiling. You're like, yep, like here we go. And maybe you don't look like you sit still. So it must be part of it, right? Like you want to go, you want to do. And like Ron said, yeah, like you expect the kids to talk back, right? So there's the challenge, especially at sixth grade. Yeah. I wouldn't be into sixth grade.
So let me back up for a second. Yeah. So first, thank you, Ron. I feel the same way. For me, it's all about connections. It is just like, who are you at your core? How do you want to show up for the world? Let's have those conversations. Like we get to have conversations with kids that help them bring out their fullest potential, that help them learn more about themselves and each other and the world. And there's no better place to do that than inside a classroom, because that's where you learn in your brain, like, oh, this is a skill I need for the future. This is a tool I need to be able to do this. There's critical thinking. There's this standard. There's this standard. There's this standard. What if we actually focused on two, the art of the conversation and the art of language and identity and culture and belief and who are you and transformation? It's transformative pedagogy. It's just, I am a huge believer in the process of becoming human as we experience life, as we experience school, of human-centered practice that helps kids become fully themselves and use that sense of self to look out into the world and decide, hey, this is what I want to learn. I need to know more about that. Wait, I'm curious about something. Can I go actually search for it on my own? Can I start asking some people, how do I have a conversation with someone if I have something going on with me that I don't understand? You know, what the heck is a global pandemic, right? Like we get to help kids have those conversations and learn how to have those conversations with themselves in the world in our classrooms. And I just, it's kind of, as you said, Joe, it's my learning journey. Like that's my learning journey for sure. I was pre-med in college. I had my head in books. I was like pushing it all nighters. I was just stressed. And then I decided I was going to go study in Spain. And while I was studying in Spain, I learned that I could actually learn more by talking with people. And I put my backpack on and I just like ventured out. I like went to as many countries as I could. I just talked with people and learned about the world. And at one point I ended up in Morocco, in Fay, Morocco, in a hostel, and I went to bed that night in my sleeping bag. Like I had everything all packed and I got bitten by a black widow on my neck. And when I woke up, my entire right side of my body was all tense, right? I was hallucinating. I was out of it. Turns out it was like this nasty spider that bit me, and I ended up having a near death experience. Like it changed who I am. It changed my perspective of the world. I changed from everything I need to know about who I am and how I need to be in the world comes from a book. So from outside myself to, I got to start looking at my insides. Like what's going on in me? What do I care about? What am I passionate about? What do I want to do with the world? Where do I want to go? And that's what I think I bring to a classroom is just, this is our learning journey. Where do we want to go? Let's create some adventure. Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. Let's imagine. Let's what if it? Let's connect. Let's share. Let's do everything we can to like activate who we are as humans, as people, and then use that to bring in the standards and how to make sense of the world and what el- whatever else we need as a community. That was kind of long. Sorry. I got it.
I think it kind of goes with like the, you know, the next question or talking point I wanted to go on with you was, so you're a language teacher, but you have, there's such a passion for you about like the SDGs and social.
Not English.
Right. Not English. Oh, believe me, I learned from last time. I correct people now on Twitter. I will tell people you are not an English language arts teacher. You are just a language arts teacher. I have thrown that out to people.
Yes.
But you have this passion in yourself for the SDGs and just social justice causes. And there's clearly an excitement for bringing them into your classroom. What is it about those that you're so passionate about that, because it clearly your students get passionate about it as well. And it's clear that you're passionate about it.
Yeah. So many things. Like I said, I'm my own resident activist. When I show up in my classroom, I show up in a way that allows, invites, and amplifies what my kids need. And so if there's something going on at their house, if there's something going on in our community, if there's something going on in the world that we can learn from and we can use as a collective learning point, we're bringing it in. We first try to figure out, how do we talk about it? Like, how can we talk about it in a way that we're honoring everyone's voice? That where if someone disagrees with someone else, or there's something that's said that doesn't feel right, like how do we navigate those difficult decisions? How do we open to an understanding of the world that allows us to, like Radine Bishop Sims says, see like windows, mirrors, and sliding glass doors. Like, how can we really see the world, invite the world in and experience that in a way that allows us to maximize our own learning potential and growth. And so for me, the SDGs are an awesome conversation map, because every single something that comes into the classroom connects with one of the SDGs. Every single thing in some way is like a connection point to, oh, somebody else in the world experiences this and they experience it like that. What? So we have this problem in our school with education. Like, we're eating a whole bunch of processed foods. We're not getting the nutrition we need. We're crashing at the end of the day. This is our like issue at school that we're really feeling like we need to focus on. And somebody in another part in the world doesn't have paper, doesn't have a teacher, isn't able to go to school because she's a girl. What? Like, so there's this opening, this conversation map to help kids make connections around the world, learn from them, and then activate that as their own personalized learning target. So yeah, we're bringing in the standards, and we're bringing in even just digital citizenship. We're bringing in social justice standards. We're bringing in everything we can to help kids get what they need to make sense of the world in a way that they see themselves in it, not just as a, oh my gosh, we have something going on with the climate right now. It is my generation's entire job to fix this. How do we do this? This is way too much to have on my shoulders. Not in that way, but in a solutionary, in a, you know what? If I follow my passion and if I do what I know I care about most, I will make my journey exactly where it needs to go. I will make a difference. I can reach out in a way that feels great to me. I can build a skate park in my hometown where people can hang out and get to talk to each other about whatever issues they're having. And that's how I made my contribution. So to circle back, the SDGs are not only a conversation map for me, it's that they're a conversation map to our global ecosystem. Like they're a launch point into helping all of us kind of understand our interconnectedness and be and reach into our interconnectedness in a way that we start to see that we are an ecosystem that depends on each other. In my classroom, we depend on each other. We do a whole bunch of community building work to do that. In our towns, we do that, right? And in the world, we do that. When we choose to connect in a way that allows us to see how interdependent each of us really is, it's magic. And then take that reflection and show a kid a mirror and say, your body is the same. Our bodies are amazing. We are our own ecosystems. So if you look in and you say, hey, I'm not getting enough sleep, you're like throwing off your balance. So what can we do here to help you balance a little more? You know, it's a powerful way to experience growth. It's a powerful way to experience learning. It definitely goes back to right back to transformative pedagogy, and it allows kids to like own their story and also look in and see, oh, our country right now is in an interesting point in its story. This just happened at the Capitol, and I don't really know how to process that. If I look at the United States as a country and I see that we're, 200-ish years old, we're kind of a teenager when compared to other countries in the world. So we're in like a teenage moment here. And if you help kids see that people have stories and we're all allowed and able and wanting to grow into our stories. And then we see how that relates to countries in the world, and we see the world. We can also see, oh, now I understand why we're having a reckoning right now when it comes to social justice. Yeah, that's not okay. We've been doing things for 200 years that aren't really what everyone, like, they're not, it doesn't feel like the full truth. I feel like there's more to it. So what else do I need to know about that story? And how else do I need to go with that? Because on the planet, as humans, we have a human story about power and about a whole bunch of things. And we get to ask questions about that, and we get to bring it into the classroom. And the more our kids feel like they can have those conversations about it, the more they own those conversations, create more conversations, and then activate change as they share and talk and impact the world.
I like the pronouns that you use. You include yourself within the style of the class and the learning within the class. And it's not, you know, the kids are going to do this. The kids are going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to create this change. We're going to learn. It's our story. Very inspiring.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm a little bit, when I get inspired, I talk a lot, but that's why in my pronouns on my email, and as you can see in my Zoom label, that's the we.
Yep.
Right? She, her, we. This is a global collective we have going on here. It's all of us. You're in or you're out. So come on, let's do this.
And I like the connectedness you're talking about. It reminds me of, I go to a Zen monastery here in New Jersey. And it reminds me of one of the stories that the Roshi at the monastery would tell about when you take a look at a table and you to make the idea of connectedness, you think about the store, all the people who were involved in the table, from the person at the store, the cashier, the person who trucked the table to the store, the person who boxed up the table at the factory, the people who fed the people who did all this, the farmers and the tree that was planted by someone. And like, and you start to see like, holy smokes, there is nothing that we touch or interact with or that doesn't connect to a multitude of other people. And I think it also then, when you start to make those connections, something we desperately need right now, you start to see everybody is human, and you don't start to see an us and them. It is that we that you're kind of talking about, so that it's,
And then as soon as you see that, it's not just about humans. Like COVID gave us this profound mirror of looking at the planet and the balance on the planet. You know, humans had to have masks on and the earth breathes better.
Right.
What does that say? You know, look at the animals on the planet. Look at the environment. Look at look at who thrived when this part of the ecosystem had to stay still.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You saw all those countries.
There's so much.
Yeah. I was going to say, you saw those countries where like animals started to come out of the jungles and the wilderness and wander the streets in some other countries that they never would have been on before because people were staying indoors and all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can look at ozone levels. Speaking of animals, this year alone, we've had a mountain lion. We just had a bear. We always have turkeys. Like, we just are seeing so much more animal presence in wilderness space. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful. Definitely, there's a learning about stillness. There's a learning about transformation at home and all of the just the digging deep that each of us had, or we didn't have to, each of us had the opportunity to do at home as we shifted our way of life in order to collectively experience a trauma and a pandemic that really activated fear. Like, I've never seen it before on the planet. So add that to a normal conversation in a classroom, and you get just raw, authentic, real kid talk emotion. Right. Like, hey, Miss Fliss, I'm scared. And every day at the beginning of class, we started with a check-in, and I switched it up. Sometimes we use like mood meter. Sometimes we use just a, hey, there's an artist from Philly, Dr. Jane Shore, who does like, I think she calls them visuals for virtual. And she does all kinds of really cool graphic design around how are you feeling today? And it could be that you're feeling fiery and activated. So there's like a little drawing of a fire, or she'd have like a stream. You feel like you're going with the flow, or you feel like you're on a bike on a journey, or you could feel like a thunderstorm. But we just every single day checked in to really, really kind of bring to metacognition where our personal presence was each day. Because as we show up in learning space, if you're in the fear zone, you can't hear anything. You can't, like, you just can't process anything. And so if we could recognize, okay, I'm in fear zone. I'm in grief zone. My grandpa just died. You know, I can't even tell you how many of my kids lost relatives this year. And we went there in the classroom. We talked through, it's actually not supposed to feel like anything. This is not a process that you learn about in school. Grief feels like this sometimes, and grief feels like that other times. And it just, you could also grieve a way of life, and you could grieve not being able to see your friends, and what does connection mean? And, you know, it just, we had so many opportunities to really think about exactly what you said, Ron, that connectedness. And like you said, Joe, the we, like, who are we as a community? And if we say we're this as a community, then we're going to take care of each other. Right. Thankfully, because of my choice to be a language arts teacher, that's all communication. It is all life skill. It is all connected to everything learning that we do in our space. But it was an intense year.
When you would start,
I mean, at one point,
I'm sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
Go for it.
I was just going to say, when you would start class, how long, I mean, I guess it would vary. Sometimes maybe check-ins would be 5 minutes, or sometimes they would be longer than 5 minutes, right? And that would be okay, depending on what the kids need.
Yep. We did, I don't know if it was ever only 5 minutes, but I guess maybe at the end of the year when we were back in person and everyone was like, I'm good. And we just like went for it. But it could be as long as 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, it could take the whole, I would figure out a way to weave in what it is that the learning objective was for the day. And we just connect in, and I could say, all right, who still needs to talk about this? Who is willing to facilitate a conversation? Who's willing to bring in something? And okay, if we still need to talk about this, we're going to go to a breakout room here. Everyone else who's ready to move on, come here. Everyone else who feels like you can navigate this part here. And we've literally become a community of learners who were supporting each other through what we were experiencing. A pretty flowy structure. Sorry. We have a pretty flowy structure. Like, we start with a warm up and the kids knew it. Like, I created a guided learning slideshow each week. So each week there's a slide deck that had every single slide we were going to go through. It had all these cell resources. So if kids got home, they could go to a virtual calm room if they needed it. And it just showed what every single learning day looked like. And we'd navigate that each day. We do a writer's notebook entry where we got to write more. Everyone would share their writer's notebook entry in the chat in the Zoom. It was so powerful. You could write to everybody and share with everybody. You could just share privately with me, but we used that to help each other understand what we were going through. And then also write and think and read and all of those things. So we just used our real life experience to bring in the world of language arts. And then we created with that. We used that to fuel the actual quote product. I'm not a big fan of homework, especially this past year. It's adding more to-dos to a list that involved a screen, that involved check marks, that involved anything like that was just not even close to anywhere I was going. And so we just navigated our way through in that way. And so when something like George Floyd came up and we had questions, or when something like the insurrection came up and we needed 10 hours to figure out what was going on in our class, we got to bring in that reflection and bring in the connection to the SDGs and bring in, did you know that other countries experience this like often? Like, this is what it's like. Life is like in other countries. And did you know that it kind of opened up a portal into a shared lived experience with the world that allowed everyone to take a step back and then process, ask questions about, and use to create our own learning plan, like our own personalized learning.
And that's what were you the saying, second Joe? Time. That was like you said before in the very beginning, when you're like, yeah, I get cut off. They don't need me. You know, learning is still going to happen without me. And I think that's Ron, how long have we been talking about that, right? Like, it's not about this is the curriculum, this is what you have to learn, this is how you learn. And, you know, it sounds like the kids are very fortunate because you maybe the school district sets all that up. And by the time they get to you, it's like you allow them to pursue those passions. They know maybe the parameters and how to do things, what the norms are and what's expected of them. And you give them the opportunity to run. And the last time you were on, we were talking to Xander. And holy smokes, if he was sixth grade, right? But his talk about stories and his life story and how eloquently he tells it. So, you know, not only kudos to him, kudos to his language teachers showing him ways to really express himself. And, you know, I don't know many sixth graders that could come on with three adults, one of them being his teacher, the other two, you know, two teachers that he's never met before, and be able to sit here and talk just so nonchalantly about pretty heavy topics. It says a lot for him, a lot for you, and I think a lot for that whole school district.
Ah, thanks for saying that.
Yeah, just
definitely
for the
appreciated. There's
the opportunities, right? It's all about opportunities. And it sounds like in your classroom, they get those opportunities to talk and think and be creative.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the most powerful opportunities actually came through the Girl Rising work we did with you, Ron. So we were grounding learning, right? I think it was February. And we were talking about microaggressions because there was a whole bunch of coming out around the election, around the insurrection. And we were trying to figure out language and how to speak about things and how to have those difficult conversations. And so we started in on just what is a microaggression? Do we hear them at school? Do we hear this language at school? What does it mean? Or how does it feel that you're hearing our country leaders speaking this way? How do you make sense of that? And what can you do to feel empowered in a country where leadership is showing itself like that? And as we got deeper into microaggressions, that's kind of the point of the year where we launch into Everything Girl Rising. And so we started talking about teen rising. And we, as you know, Ron, we yep. connected right away with two particular stories through Girl Rising. And as we started thinking about microaggressions and then talking about, well, where are you having your conversations? It went straight to social media. Like, these are social media is where I see most of my microaggressions. I'm seeing my president do this. I'm seeing these people do this. I'm seeing all of these, like this, like hate language and people using language against each other in a way that's negative. And so we decided to flip it. We decided to just decided to really empower ourselves with that Teens Rising unit and use social media for good. And Ron invited us in to do the meme portion of that activity with him. And we ended up, that was so powerful to connect with you in New Jersey and then connect with Lisa Kapp in New York City and connect with other educators who were helping kids use the ideas of empowering language and social and memes to capture messages for change and actually use those in your social media account. One particular student, I want to make sure to let you say a bunch too, Ron, but one particular student I have just connected even more than I ever could have dreamed. It turns out she and her brother are actually adopted from Haiti. And so when she learned about Wadley's story, Wadley is one of the girls in the Girl Rising, Teens Rising, along with the documentary, learning online learning platform. She just went on this deep dive into, wow, you mean if I had been in Haiti, if I had stayed in Haiti, this could have been my life. And she just started asking questions of her adopted mom and started asking questions of her brother and started her own personal transformation and growth process. And is now like writing about it and using it for her own growth. And she was able to access part of her identity and part of like who she is as a person, because we decided as a class that we were going to create community in a way that allows for that. Like, we want personal connection. We value personal connection and community above a number. We don't even use traditional grades in my room. We get to experience learning in a way that makes us our best and helps us to dig deeper and grow into ourselves in a way that makes us feel great about being in the world right now. And that experience is what it's about for me. Like, I'm choosing in to my own learning and I'm going to help myself grow in a way that allows me to be my best self. And then use what I've learned to take action and make an impact on the world based on my passion. Ron, you too. I know you were super impacted. I want to hear more about how you used Girl Rising and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had mentioned, and we have a podcast episode that's will have aired before this airs with Casey Freed Jennings from Girl Rising. And I said to her on the podcast, like, watching it, I said, I can't really say any other way to describe it than it touched my soul. Like there was something in it that I think in the stories, when you, especially as an educator, you watch the stories and you can see your students in the girls. So like every story, you see your own students there. And if that doesn't get you emotional in seeing that could be just as easily your student, in it, you know, if situations were different, you know, I don't know if you have any emotion in you, if it doesn't make you emotional. And I think that's the beauty of using Girl Rising, was the students can also see themselves in the girls in the story, and they can connect with education, right? They're all in mm-hmm. school, they're all going to school. And it's great jumping off points for discussions. Well, what are some of the inequities we see around education in our classroom, in our building, in our district, in our city, in our state, in the whole country? It touched me. And it is going to be part of my curriculum for a long while, if not forever. And it's gotten me to write, you know, more detailed lesson plans or unit plans than I ever have in my life, because I want it to be able to really dig deeper and use it in more of a powerful way. Now, I am switching it up to add a lot more choice into, rather than just do memes, I'm now, you know, choices, create videos, create podcasts, create a code, a video game that has to do with Girl Rising or was inspired by something with Girl Rising. And it even just touching on all of that and, it, you know, just watching what you do, I had a fifth grade class. We were talking about the plastics problem, you know, just going back to Jen Williams and Kuhn Timmer's, the Take Action Global projects. And we started to talk about it. And it was my last group of the year, last group of students in fifth grade. And the one girl said, I'm writing an essay right now because I want to make sure that we are not using single-use plastics in our cafeteria. She said, I want to send it to the principal. I said, look, we're going to do one better. We have a new superintendent and we have a new principal next year. Why don't you guys put together a presentation? You can present it to them. I'm going to get them to come into the classroom at the end of the marking period. And she did. This fifth grade girl stood up and gave a presentation to the new superintendent, the new principal, about the harm that the plastic's doing to the environment. She did. She helped me. We worked together to create a survey from the rest of the staff and students about, do you support banning single-use plastics? Do you, you know, so just from Girl Rising, a little, you know, that we're going to do something idea, just it influenced even that project. And I know, Joe, the same thing. I mean, you had projects that were influenced of, well, we're making changes.
You know, like I see what you guys are doing. And until our last podcast with Casey, I was a little skeptical of bringing Girls Rising to the third grade classroom. But the idea of empowering girls and women, you know, and Julia, I don't know if I ever said really thank you, you know, when I did the whole Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, like I had the idea. So yes, let's bring in women, you know, these women that don't, you know, just women in general, because there's history books are filled with men, right? So to bring women that have been successful and change makers in the world, and then to try and do something off that, and then someone go, I don't know how, you know, is it, are you just making collars because she's a girl? What's it? But to have you come be like, no, I don't think so. And just for that support. But then after talking to Casey, maybe try and bring in the one story, you know, not to show everything, but just to give those girls the opportunity to stand up and say, hey, you know what? This isn't right. And this is what I would like to do. Over half our class was girls this year. And I'm not going to lie, the girls crush the boys in a lot of ways. And the boys are always, oh, you know, we're faster, we're stronger, we're better. And at the end of the day, they weren't. And I think that was really tough for them to see. But it was a great opportunity for them to see at 8 years old, like these little girls, like Ron was saying, are going up to the principals and saying, I want this to happen. And say, well, this is what has to happen for X, Y, and Z. And, you know, you want to make changes, let's let you make changes. And it's just really cool to see that happen at 8 years old. And you know, we're writing persuasive essays and they're taking time to write notes down on index cards and practice. I'll say this, you say this, things are color coded because they care about, hey, we should be able to do this. Let's make it happen. And to give them the opportunity, I think that's what's going to prepare them for later on in life. As opposed to just saying, here's the writing test. Oh, look, you did great on the writing test. But to actually use what we did in writing class, it was really powerful to see. And, you know, I know we say all, or I've said before to the parents of the boys in class, ah, don't worry. He's just a boy. You know, eventually it'll catch on. Well, girls aren't that way. Girls are driven and girls want. So to give them the opportunity at a young age, I think that's what everyone should be doing, whether it's Girls Rising, whether it's, you know, whatever avenue you want to take to get them there. The point is taking the avenue. So I am looking forward to next year with the help of Ron to try and incorporate it in there. And like I said, just give these girls the opportunity to be powerful and to be passionate, right? About playing lacrosse like boys play lacrosse or that was a big one a couple of years ago. Yep. Which I, before any of this happened, I love the fact that I was able to start to foster this stuff. I just wish back then I was more proactive about it because who, but those are the, are those the fifth grade girls? No, those aren't the fifth grade girls you were talking about. I mean, so those girls are in like sixth grade now. So maybe it was even 3 years ago, but yeah, just every year to try, you know, there's a book out there, Rebel Girls. And that's where, you know, there's a page about Simone, the gymnast with Simone, what is
Bias.
It?
Yeah.
You know, Ruth. Just so many girls. So instead of waiting till, you know, the middle of the year to start that off in January. Okay. Yeah. You know, so to start bringing it in earlier and just to show, you know, men don't rule the world and that's okay. You know, like give these girls the opportunity to crush it.
Yeah. We get to cultivate belonging. We get to have, we get to teach kids how to have conversations with themselves, others in the world, about what's important to them and activate the type of personalized learning that we all deserve. It's, I mean, we get to teach them the art of conversation through language, language that isn't assigned to a gender, language that isn't a microaggression, language that liberates rather than oppresses. It's just, it's a gift. We get to be a part of that conversation and we get to invite kids into that conversation. And that's the part of education as a language arts educator that I adore. It's a part about being on the planet right now as an educator and witnessing, watching, being a part of and activating transformation. It's just, we get to do this right now. Yeah, we're at a tough spot. We're at a reckoning. We are at an in-your-face, there's a lot going on moment on the planet and in our country. And we get to be a part of that conversation in a way that changes things. And our kids get that opportunity too.
I love just, you know, you could have the exact opposite thought process about everything you just said, right? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to teach in, you know, all this turmoil going on and all the, but to have that spin on it, it almost like, you know, Joe and I are at the end of this year, like talking to you and listening to that and kind of having that idea, like I'm fired up already to start in September with some stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
well, you're not saying it's like, oh no, I had to do it during a pandemic. No. I got to do it during a pandemic, you know? So instead of keeping it as a, oh, this was a pain in the butt to do, like keeping it as a badge of honor.
Yeah. Like we get to invite the world into our classrooms. And when you choose to create that opening, you create magic. Like you create community. We get to say, you can't say, no, I only want the good stuff.
Right.
That doesn't help kids stand up for themselves, like you were just saying, Joe. And that doesn't help kids learn the skills to present to a superintendent to make change. It's, here's what the world is bringing to us to learn. What do we want to do with it? How are we going to make sense of it? How are we going to use it to launch our own learning adventures in a way that makes us the best people we can be and to help us really just bring out our passion, bring out who we are and where we want to go with the world? It's a gift. I know it's strange, but COVID's a gift.
So I have to ask, because I'm always in, again, like, you know, you do inspire me. And I'm not saying that to like butter you up or, you know, it's just the reality of it. And I think for a lot of people listening, like it can be intimidating, and it's still a little bit intimidating for me to bring these topics in or to start these conversations. So one of the things that I really wanted to ask you was, and I know it's a hard question, but how do you start your year or your, like, I only get to have the kids for a marking period. So I'm always interested in like the starting point for what you build, because it can be such a, you can have kids coming in with different opinions. You can have, you know, kids coming in with different opinions from you and from each other. And like, just where do you start? Like, if you can just give a few pointers or tips or ideas, you know, I'd love to hear those.
Absolutely. And for the record, I'm super inspired by each of you too. So thank you for that. And I'll throw some butter back your way as well.
But, like it all time.
Ooh, corn condiment. That's butter. Yeah, right. We do a lot of community building at the beginning of the year. We do some collective vision casting. We really connect with each other. We talk about Brave Space. We talk about what learning is to each of us, like the process of learning and what we know about ourselves as learners and what we love about our favorite classrooms and our favorite learning moments. We talk about owning our own learning. We talk about the world being our classroom. We really dig into what it means to be a community that builds each other up and how that structure can help us learn, be our best, and then really become each other's teacher. I'm not the only teacher in the room ever. We all learn from each other, and I learn more from them. They learn more from each other than I could ever teach them every single day. I do start with a kind of year-long PBL driving question. In my classroom, I have painted on my ceiling what I call the universe and what the kids call the dent in the universe, or what the kids call actually a lemon. I'm going to sketch it really quickly right here. It is just abstract art. I love art. And so I know you can't see this if you're listening to a podcast. It's basically a circle with kind of a little lump at the end, like the end or the nub of a lemon, as the kids say. And inside that circle, there are a group of dots that are kind of collecting together. They're what we talk about as like the dots who need each other to really make sense of the world right now. They're like dots who need some socialization. They're dots who need connection. They're the people who are social, are more social than others. And then there's a dot that's a little bit further out, who's kind of an observer. Maybe that person right now in their life just is going through some stuff and they just don't feel like they need that social stuff. Or maybe they're just not wired to be like super social, which I always share that that's me. I'm not wired to be super social. I just will always step out and be the observer. I'm really awkward, actually. And then there's another dot that's even further out. And then there's the one dot that's pushed out on the circle so much. Let's see if I can do this. Pushed out on the circle so much that it's made a dent in the universe. So there's some Steve Jobs, like here's to the crazy ones in it. Yep. And it isn't a dent in, it's a dent out that like pushes thinking. It opens the circle. It changes the shape of the way people experience the world. And the first time they see it, they're all laying on the floor because I move all the desks out of the way and I say, okay, lay on the floor, look up. What do you see? And I just wait to hear what they see. And every year there's at least one or 10 lemons that come up. And then we finally get to this conversation where, you know, oh, we get to be who we are in this classroom. And who is that? And how do I want to be a learner this year? And I'm coming into a brand new school because sixth grade is the start of middle school for us. And I get to recreate who I am and I get to connect with who I want to, and I get to be who I want to be. And the one rule in quotes we have in our classroom is to honor Brave Space. So if it's kind of, for me, it's Brené Brown language, but it's one step above safe space. It's we honor what's spoken in here and we'll push it too. So if you have something you want to say and you're not really sure if you're going to say it right, and you're not really sure if you want to share it, or you're not really sure of it, you are encouraged and activated to share it anyway. And no one will judge you. We'll help you through it. We'll have a conversation about it. And if it's going to make it, we'll use it to make us all better. We'll use it to make us all stronger. And we build people up. We don't tear people down. We all become part of this collective community that chooses in. Like every day when we walk through the door, you're choosing in. You're choosing to show up 100%. And that might not look happy every day. That might not look the same as everyone else every day. It probably won't. And the way you show up on the outside, I acknowledge, is most likely not what it feels like on the inside. Everyone's bringing their invisible backpack. Everyone has had their set of experiences that have led them to this moment. And if you're willing to show up real, if you're willing to show up as you and sit in a chair or stand if you want a standing desk, if you're willing to just show up and be here now, we'll bring the learning to you and we'll bring it to you in a way that you become part of it and that you get to share what you need to share with everyone too. So it's a big picture. How do we want to make a dent in the universe? Your way, your style, change the way people think, change your own thinking, however, whatever inspires you. And it's also be you, be you. It's okay to be you in here, whatever that means.
With when you were saying before, so you're the sixth graders are that's their first grade in their middle, in your middle school. Is it just the sixth grade at the ropes course?
Yeah. Yep. At Outdoor Lab, it's only sixth graders who go.
And so you described it as the Outdoor Lab. Is it part of the school or it's a ropes course off campus?
It is a part of our school district. Outdoor Lab is, there's a nonprofit portion, but every sixth grade class in all of Jefferson County, so Jeffco Public Schools, gets to go to Outdoor Lab for a week. It depends, every school gets a different week and it becomes this kind of rite of passage initiation. We choose at our school to have that be a part of our opening ceremonies, if you will. So we get everyone ready. Everyone has to really lean in because it is uncomfortable. Lots of people don't know anybody. There's not a whole bunch of people who are friends with other people. And you get put in bunk houses and it's like, it's some navigating of, like I said, mindset, really. It's navigating mindset and jumping into something new, but it creates community like no other. Yep. And then we come back to school and we start to look at the school as our own adventure land. So we like literally go out into the school and head down to the lobby and we just take a look at what's in our lobby. Like, this is your school. What do you see? We do a gallery walk of the school. Look up here. We have this quote on this wall. What does that mean to you? And we just, we make our school our home. Like we come home in school. And we, because we're home, and this year there's a whole new level of learning, a level to that, because we literally did go home as we learned, and that came into every single classroom. You just, that brings in a whole different part of you when you're, when you feel at home in a classroom, when you feel like you can be you in your school, when you feel like you have someone who's going to listen and see you for who you are. And literally tell you, hey, I love you. You are an awesome kid. We have this going on. Let's make this happen. Right? There's a lot to that. It's transformative.
It's relationships before rigor. You can't ask them to do something hard when if they don't think you care about them.
Or they don't know that
exactly
they care about each other.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean that even I think even more so, you know. That they have, there's, you have a group of people who care about you, who have your back in a mm-hmm. tough spot. You know, like you said, when you're unsure about what you're going to say or if it's going to sound awkward or weird, or, but if you know that you have classmates who have your back, huge.
I'm stealing the lemon idea. We've been sharing every morning for the past probably 3 years. And it is, it's that building that sense of community. Mm-hmm. I love the lemon and not necessarily a dent in the universe, but the fact that you're pushing thinking. So do you want mm-hmm. every kid then to be that, not, do you want every kid at least one point to be out there pushing thing or it's up to
them? Only if it feels right to them.
That's what I was going to say. Cause like that's.
Yeah. Only if it feels right to them.
That's all I'm thinking about now is, you know, where would you want them to be? And it's not about where you want them to be. It's about where they feel comfortable enough being, talking to people, out watching, or even pushing. I think, what does Ellen refer to them as, Ron? The flyer, the grounders, the soars. Oh man, I always butcher this.
Yeah, I know. The space
grounders, flyers, and soarers, you know, yeah. Like, and you need all three in order to really have a great community. So, and that's it. You're letting everyone be themselves and appreciating what they're bringing. And I, you know, I don't know if I can paint it on the ceiling, but I do have some ideas on painting in my classroom this year.
All right, come on.
So, but I,
yeah, we call that person the lone nut. Now, yeah. Here's to the crazy, the misfits, the rebels, the ones who are like, you just, yeah.
And it even reminds me, like, I have that quote in my classroom, and it was from a guest on Don Wetrick's podcast, but it's, there is no they, right? It's not, they need to do this. It's we, it's not, well, they did it. Or, and I, I talked to the kids about that, in the beginning of the year. Like I said, I don't want, if something happens, I don't want you to go, well, they were, I was like, nope, there is no they,
yeah.
Right? First of all, take responsibility if you need to. And then if you want to see change, don't wait for they to go do it. Right. We talk about like trash in the hall. You see trash, don't go, well, the custodians will pick it up. Right. Like, it's, right. We're all this community. Yeah.
Yeah. That's extra powerful right now too, with just like blame and guilt about who's done what for how many hundreds of years, and the difference between accountability and pointing fingers, and there's so much. That is like lifeblood learning right there. Like, to help kids see that, and even see, like you just said, there's a piece of paper on the floor, and someone else will just take care of that. That's a different mentality than, I care about my school. I care about the fact that there's paper right here. I know that I can do something about that. I'm not even going to say anything out loud. I'm just going to grab it.
Right.
Right.
It's like, that's not my, it's not my paper. It's like, well, we didn't say it's your paper, but just pick it up and put it in the recycling bin. Right. There's nothing,
right?
Like, nothing wrong about that.
Yeah. It doesn't mean if you pick it up or you do something to affect change, that you've made a mistake, that you need to be blamed for anything. This is about all of us working together to make better what is created, what we created on the planet. JP and Ella, my dogs, are definitely in.
They agree with you.
Joe, did you have anything, anything else you wanted to discuss with Julia or talk
Ron,
about?
Ron, I knew this podcast, like, I'm just holding on and listening, and with the things that you guys are doing, I'm just hoping that next year I can incorporate it more into my classroom, I don't have anything else to add except, Julia, it's been awesome just watching since, was it January or February, you guys started working together, with the Girls Rising Project. It's just, it's unreal. It's just unreal listening and talking and just the things you're doing. Keep it up, because it's definitely, I see it on my end. I'm like, all right, so let's add it to the list. And it is, it's like, it's adding it to the list. Like I said, I'm looking forward to using the Lemon or the Galaxy next year, at least just for a conversation, to build that community. Because I agree with you that it's big. Yeah. If you're not feeling it in the morning, it doesn't matter what anyone says, who experts you bring in. If you're hungry, if you're upset, if you're mad, nothing's coming in until that's addressed. So wholeheartedly agree with you on that. And like I said, I think I would love to be a sixth grader in your class. If not for anything, just for the ropes course.
Right on. I'd love to have you, and I'd love to be a third grader in your class.
Oh, thank you.
Julia, do you think, I don't know if you have a picture of the ceiling. Would you be able to share that with us, and I could put it in the show notes? Email it to me or something?
For sure. Okay. Yeah, I have it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I have it for sure.
Just so people can see, what it looks like. Before we wrap up, was there anything you wanted to hit on, Julia, or... just wanted to share.
I just say props to you two. Keep doing this amazing work.
Thank you.
To teacher nerds, and your mission is so incredibly inspiring. It's part of who I am from the inside out. Just transform education. It's so ingrained in what I believe we need to do in our education system in order to create what we're looking to create on the planet right now. And I know it's an extra for you. Like, you're choosing to spend your time talking to teachers and making connections and shifting learning and upshifting how we are teaching our kids right now. And it's huge. It's just, you deserve a celebration, at least you deserve to know that it matters and that you are like, this is your affecting change. This is what's literally sending out ripples that's creating change on the planet. So thank you. And that's what I'm definitely feeling like I need to say right now. I'm super grateful to be connected to both of you as well.
Wow. Thank you.
It means a lot. It means a lot coming from you.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Well, Julia, you know, can't thank you enough for taking the time and joining us and, you know, taking time out of your summer, especially to join us. So thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate it. And like I said, keep going because you're a huge inspiration to us and, you know, we love what you're doing.
Thank you both very much.
Well, again, thank you, Julia. It's been absolute pleasure. Always a pleasure when we get to talk to you.
Thank you both too. The feeling is definitely mutual.
Teacher nerds knocking on your door. Open up, let's take your teaching further than before. Give it a try, don't be shy, there's nothing there to lose. Worst thing that happens, kids get pain on their shoes. We're talking teacher nerds.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Teacher Nerds Podcast. Keep up with every new episode by subscribing on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, or anywhere you listen. When you subscribe, be sure to give us a review and tell a friend. Visit us at teachernerds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Teacher Nerds, on Instagram at Teacher Nerds Podcast, or email us teachernerds@gmail.com. And remember, we're nerds with a Z. Most importantly, thank you for listening and becoming one of the Teacher Nerds.